Okay, take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 9, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 8. Out of reverence to God, please stand as His word is read. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. So He got into a boat, crossed over, and came to His own town. Just then some men brought to Him a paralytic lying on a stretcher. Seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, "Have courage, son. Your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the scribes said to themselves, "He's blaspheming." Perceiving their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why are you thinking evil things in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," then He told the paralytic, "Get up, take your stretcher, and go home." So he got up, went home. When the crowd saw this, they were awestruck and gave glory to God who had given such authority to men. You may be seated. Jesus, it tells in our passage, so he got into a boat. Well, why did he get in the boat? Because he was on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, in the area of the Gadarenes, and he had been there, and when he landed there, two demon-possessed men came out from the tombs, and Jesus, according to the other accounts in the other Gospels, Mark and Luke, Jesus had told the demons to come out of him. And the demons said, "Have you come to torment us before the time? Do not send us into the abyss. Let us go in to that herd of pigs over there." Well, the abyss is going to be where the demons spend all of eternity after God finishes with His plan of redemption. Satan and all the angels that rebelled against God in heaven, that became the demons, and demons are real. Let me just take one of the lies of Satan is you can spot him because he's wearing red long johns, has a tail, horns, and a pitchfork. No. Satan was called an angel of light. Very beautiful. And there's no indication that he ever lost that angelic form. He just had a different mindset than serving God. He wanted to serve himself. And so Satan appears, Scripture tells us, as an angel of light. He appears like one that's bringing a good message, but he's actually bringing destruction, sin, and ultimately eternity in hell to those that listen to him. He, among others, among the demons, a third of the angels that God created, decided they're going to rebel against God, and they are still, most of them, active in the world. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Now, that rulers, authorities, and powers, those are terms that refer to like our ranks in the military. Our struggle is against sergeant angels, lieutenant angels, and general angels. You got different ranks, and each of them has different areas of authority. Michael is described as one of the archangels. He's one that is with Gabriel in the presence of God. He's like one of the four-star general angels. Well, these demon-possessed men said, "Have you come?" The demons do. "Have you come to torment us before the time. They know that there's a time coming where they're going to be sent to the abyss. So don't send us there yet. Let us go into those pigs. Now, pigs are an unclean animal. Now, here's one thing you're never going to find. A kosher pork hot dog. Kosher is a term for following the Levitical dietary laws given by God to Israel. So you're not going to find pork. Pork isn't, a pig is an unclean animal. You'll find kosher beef hot dogs. And if you get a kosher hot dog, it's one of the best tasting hot dogs you can get. Hebrew National. Now, they'll cost you, but they're a good hot dog. But I'm not required to follow the kosher diet, so I'll take the less expensive mix of whatever meats they found in the butcher shop in my hot dog, and I don't want to watch it made. Sometimes I'll even take one off the grill at Circle K. And some of them have been watching them from behind a checkout stand all shift. That same hot dog's been there. Yeah. Well, it's not just at Circle K. It's every place. Well, God is the one that has authority over the demons. Jesus said to the demons, "You have permission to go into the pigs." And the pigs then ran down a steep hill and drowned in the ocean. Now, part of it, you can go to that area in Galilee, along the Sea of Galilee, and there's a very steep cliff and just a little short shoreline. If you've ever been running down a hill and tried to stop quickly at the bottom, you don't do it. You just keep coming, tumbling a little bit if you try to stop quickly, especially if other people are following behind you. Well, the people that were tending the pigs went into town and told the whole town what had happened to the demon-possessed man and what had happened to the pigs. And the people of the town came out. It says they were afraid and they begged Jesus, "Go away." They saw his power over the demons. People had tried to chain up these demon-possessed men before, but they would just break the chains and attack the men. Nobody could come by that graveyard anymore because the demon-possessed men would come out and beat them up. Well, when they came out, they saw the demon-possessed men sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. And instead of going, "Wow, I want to know more about the power to overcome these demons," no, they said, "Go away. We don't want to hear any more. Get out of our area, please." And so Jesus never forces himself on anyone. Scripture says he stands at the door and knocks. If anyone opens the door, he will come in. He is the one desiring to bring forgiveness. But he's not going to force us to be forgiven. So he comes from the area of the Gadarenes. He got into the boat and he went to the other side. He followed their request to go away. And then when he got to Capernaum, he said to his own town, that would be referring to Capernaum, he saw a paralytic, somebody paralyzed, on a stretcher, and people carry him. Now, you don't carry your own stretcher when you're laying in a stretcher. Somebody else has to carry it. And they came to Jesus, and Jesus, it said, saw their faith. And Jesus said, "Take courage. Your sins are forgiven." Now, that didn't bother the paralytic. It could have been his sins had caused him to be paralyzed. Imagine someone that has decided that they're going to get drunk and drive, and they get paralyzed in the accident. Almost always it's not the drunk that gets paralyzed, it's the one they hit. But they get paralyzed. Well, whatever the situation, Jesus says your sins are forgiven. If we look at John chapter 9, we get an indication that sometimes sin does cause an illness. John chapter 9, beginning verse 1. As he was passing by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus answered. "This came about so that God's works might be displayed in him." So sometimes sin will cause physical disease. Sometimes we have illnesses and physical disease so God's power can be seen in those situations. The paralytic didn't complain. The people carrying the paralytic didn't complain. But some religious teachers thought to themselves, "He's blaspheming." Now, blaspheming is saying something totally against God. Claiming to be God would be blasphemy. Claiming to have the power of God when God hasn't given it to you is blasphemy. So, if Jesus did not have the power to forgive sin, he would be guilty of blasphemy. They didn't say anything out loud, but said Jesus knew their thoughts. "Why do you think evil things in your heart?" Jesus said to them. It wasn't good things. They weren't saying Jesus is blaspheming because they were wanting to protect God. They were saying Jesus is blaspheming because they wanted to elevate themselves. We're better than him. Jesus said, "Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk?" Well, both of them are easy. I can say the carpet is green and the sky is orange. I can say anything. That doesn't make it true. But if you say your sins are forgiven, what's the proof? You don't know. If you say get up and walk and you don't get up and walk, then you know you've lied. So Jesus is giving them a situation. When they said, "Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or get up and walk?" And say, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven because there's no proof whether it's true or not. So Jesus said, to prove that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sin, "Get up, take your stretcher, and go home." And the guy got up, took his stretcher, and went home. Now, if you've ever been confined to bed for a long period of time, you don't have strength. You got to sort of build that back. Well, he just got up, got a stretcher, carried it home. He didn't have to build it. He was instantly healed. Now, who can forgive sins? Just up the road, toward Huntsville, well, in Huntsville, is the Texas prison system. Death Row for Huntsville, or for Texas, is in Huntsville. If someone is going to be executed, there is someone waiting beside a phone, waiting for someone that can say, "Stop the execution." There's only a few people that can do that. The governor can call and say, "Stop the execution. He has been pardoned," or "His sentence has been commuted." The President of the United States can call and say he has been pardoned. or his sentence has been commuted. But unless the one in authority calls death row and says, stop the execution, that person's going to be executed. He has a penalty that he is facing. A penalty for his crimes that he's been convicted of. Well, we all have a penalty facing us. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We all are on death row. That man in the stretcher, or on the stretcher, was on death row. He was just on death row in a stretcher. He was eventually going to die and face God on judgment. Hebrews 9:27 says, just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. And Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Now, there is no forgiveness of sin unless Jesus shed his blood to forgive us of our sin, to pay the penalty. Only God can do that. Only God can settle the debt that is owed to God. It's not owed to Satan. Jesus didn't have to pay Satan off so that we could be forgiven of our sins. No. God's justice requires that there be a payment for the penalty of sin. And Jesus took the payment for us. And so Jesus says, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sin. Get up and walk. Now Jesus has been teaching about the kingdom of God. Jesus showed his power to heal the leper by a touch. Jesus showed his power and authority by healing the centurion's servant at a distance, just saying the word. Jesus showed his power over nature by calming the sea and the winds. Jesus showed his power over demonic spiritual forces by casting out the legion of demons. And now Jesus shows his power to forgive sins. The message was for the disciples and all who saw, and is for us. God is the one, the only one, that can forgive us of our sins. We are on death row. Unless that phone rings and said, this is Jesus, sins are forgiven, we're going to spend eternity in hell. But God took the form of man, Jesus Christ, 100% God, 100% man, all at the same time, suffered in every way, tempted in every way that we are, but did not sin, and went to the cross to be our atoning sacrifice. We have forgiveness because of what he's done. And the crowds go, wow. They were amazed and they gave glory to God. We need to remember to give glory to God for the forgiveness that he has given us. Healing of disease is minor. Raising the dead was minor. Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead, was going to die again. But eternity, where we spend it, is determined whether our sins are forgiven. Once our sins are forgiven, we no longer face the punishment of our sin debt. But there are a lot of people who say, I'm forgiven. But their evidence of their life doesn't show they're forgiven. It's like they don't want to have anything to do with the person that forgave them. God, Jesus, has forgiven us. Are we thankful or not? And do we want to share with others how they too can be spared from the judgment to come? Lord, thank you for this time we could be here. Thank you for forgiving us our sins. Thank you for showing your authority, your power, and your love and your forgiveness. Let us share that with others. In Jesus' name, amen.